Last week, the U.S. Senate voted overwhelmingly to approve legislation designed to help solve long wait times at VA medical facilities. The longer-term fixes included more funding to hire health care providers and lease more VA-operated facilities. For the shorter term, though, the McCain-Sanders bill also expands VA's authority to send its patients to outside providers, including private clinics, but also facilities run by other agencies, including the Indian Health Service and the Defense Department. Retired Vice Admiral Norb Ryan is the president of the Military Officers Association of America. He's here to talk with us about the pluses and, as MOA sees it, some of the potential minuses of the bill. Admiral, welcome back to the show. Very nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Chair. Great to be with you.
So we'll get to some of the potential pitfalls of this bill as you guys see it in just a moment, but I think you do see some good stuff in here, too. Does this move the ball forward in terms of VA as far as you can see?
Oh, absolutely. This is a very, very encouraging, favorable bill. It's encouraging to see that Congress can work in a bicameral and bipartisan way with a sense of urgency on this issue. And so I want to commend both Chairman Jeff Miller on the House side and Senator Bernie Sanders on the Senate side, along with Senator McCain and many of the others that have championed these two pieces of legislation. So we're very optimistic that they'll come up with a good compromise that's going to be good for our veterans.
And I think importantly, as I mentioned kind of in the intro there, they're doing more than just looking to the long term, because that's going to take a while to get those leases signed and get those VA personnel hired and on the payroll. And again, it's probably encouraging that Congress actually agreed on not just policy, but something that they're going to have to spend money on. As to these shorter-term issues, which are going to involve putting more people into IHS and DOD facilities, how do you see that issue?
Well, it should be an option, but I can't speak for the Indian facilities, but for DOD, we do know that the Defense Department already has some challenges itself in meeting its requirements and making sure that the appointments are done in a timely fashion. So I think they were wise to put in the statement that with space available. And, you know, we all know that some of the very, very heavily populated installations, so you pick any of your huge Army installations or Marine installations, where they have a lot of Marines or soldiers and a lot of families, there probably is not going to be much space availability at those facilities. And so I don't think any of us in the business of trying to support this legislation think that that's going to be the answer. I think the Senate has focused properly on working with the communities. And, you know, the VA has a patient-centered community care contract with two really top-notch agencies, TriWest in the West and HealthNet in the East, that can really, I think, step up to the plate and help the VA as they try and get at this backlog and these hidden lists.
And yet, as several of the veteran services organizations have pointed out, in their view anyway, sending veterans into private contracted care is at best a Band-Aid fix, because you know, these private primary care providers can do a lot of things, but there are a lot of types of services that are specific to military service that just don't exist outside of VA. Do you see things basically the same way?
I see it as a half glass full, though. You know, certainly the VA has to remain responsible for coordinating all aspects of care for our veterans. But there's absolutely no reason if what they need is a colonoscopy or an MRI or
sure,
something like that, and it's going to be a six-month wait instead of a six-day wait. That's what these contracts are there for. And so I think we just have to get a better understanding of the rules and how we can contract these things out. Certainly all of us that have anything to do with veterans don't want to weaken the VA facilities in any way, Jared. As you know, I just visited two of our remarkable polytrauma centers, one in Tampa, Florida, and one in out in Stanford, California. Both polytrauma centers doing amazing things with spinal cord and brain injuries. So the VA is just remarkable in some of the things that they've done on the signature wounds of this war. So the VA has to be predominant. You know, maybe we can do more than 10% of our care out in the communities, particularly with these PC3 contracts, to lighten the load on some of the routine things that would take too long to get caught up with the VA. So it's going to have to be a combination that the VA is going to have to be responsible for coordinating the care, collecting the fees, all of those things. But I think they can be much more efficient and much more effective at doing that. Frankly, Jared, that's why our association, I wrote the president in the middle of May when this thing first started coming up and said, we have a beautiful opportunity now to really look holistically at how healthcare should be delivered in the 21st century in the VA. There's wonderful things going on in the public and private areas. We need a bipartisan commission to look at this. The White House acknowledged that the day we wrote it on the 16th of May. Jeff Miller just wrote me back that he's proposing the same type of thing. We see this kind of legislation in both the House and Senate bills. That's the long term, but we've got to get at the long term. There's a much better way, I think, of coordinating public and private delivery of health care. And we haven't done it since the 1990s when the VA came up with taking the care to the patients with the community-based outreach clinics, a fantastic thing, and doing a lot more preventative care. So it's time to take a fresh look at how the VA ought to be delivering care in the 21st century, and we hope that that's an important part of this compromise legislation.
You mentioned the polytrauma centers you visited. I don't know if any of those are the ones that are jointly operated by DOD and VA, but that just takes me to the general question of what's your view on how those two departments are coordinating their efforts, not just in terms of sharing health records, which has been a longstanding challenge, but sharing best practices in terms of, as you said, treating these signature wounds of war and working together on that.
I got to admit, I'm a bit disappointed in the progress in the health records and sharing those. I know they have all these pilots going on, but we met with the president about six or seven of the large veterans organizations in the president's first term, and we had the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of VA there at the time, and they made a commitment to us that they were going to do it. And it seems like we're on a treadmill, and it's very disheartening. And that is a main stumbling block to making sure that everything's shared. We have all kinds of workarounds, but I have to admit our association is pretty disappointed in the progress made so far, and we really need to. I hope that Secretary Hagel can bring some fresh leadership to that. I know he was trying to work very closely with Secretary Shinseki on that. I'm encouraged by his interest and involvement in this thing. It could make a big difference in this sharing. Neither one of those polytrauma centers is a joint. They're VA polytrauma centers. As you know, that we have some joint VA and DOD hospitals. I visited one in Great Lakes. It's a remarkable facility that takes advantage of the different types of patients that come into both. It's good for the training of the doctors. So where it's responsible and reasonable and the facilities allow it, it's not a bad thing. And I think we've got a good case going on up at Great Lakes, as you know, north of Chicago. In a facility like that. But the polytrauma centers are so specialized. Obviously, there's a lot of training going on in those, but those five VA facilities are absolutely remarkable.
And then going back to the military treatment facilities issue that we talked about a moment ago, DOD, and as you pointed out, veterans would be treated in these facilities only on a space available basis. But DOD clearly believes that it has slack in its system, you know, as evidenced by its budget submission this year, which is trying to encourage more of the TRICARE population to use military treatment facilities rather than using private providers on a fee-for-service basis or whatever. Does MOA, do you see evidence that capacity is available, and what's your view on trying to create those incentives for TRICARE beneficiaries?
I'm open to it as a way of trying to help the VA catch up if it's available, space A. My main point, I think, Jared, that I would want to make is that the VA already has a new contract in place I mentioned this PC3 thing with HealthNet and TriWest that is there, and it's waiting to be executed. And I know in some of the areas like Phoenix where they're finally really starting to execute that and get some of that care controlled by the VA, but sent out to TriWest and HealthNet. That's the quickest way that they can get help in addition to the local community-based partnerships that they do, because they have these two huge national contracts. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's looking like they would only do about 10% of their care under these civilian contracts. That's about $5 billion. I think there's room to expand those, particularly as we go through this crisis. And It's just getting the training and getting the word out there so that the veteran becomes the center of attention and not the bureaucracy.